We'll come back. We'll do some more phone calls, and we'll talk about the great unpleasant. I don't even have time to read most of these emails. I'm just looking through. Let's see. My life is fulfilled. All hail Sarah. Yippee. Welcome back. Thanks, sweet heavenly Christ. Et cetera, et cetera. Great new radio. He's back. Glad you're all of this year. I'm taking the day off work. So we'll try to get to some of these emails as the show progresses. We're going to do a top five later on, top five comeback albums of all time. We're going to talk about the things that we missed that happened while we were off the air. We'll talk about the news stories we missed. We'll talk about the things that we were terrified would happen while we were off the air. We've got music. We've got some comeback songs that have been recorded for us. We got all of that. This is the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. Let's do another watcher with Tim Riley.
Time for the clergy watch. Here's your clergy watch.
Kind of feels good to say that. From Monday.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I got to have faith.
From New Jersey comes word of James T. Hadley, a former Roman Catholic priest at the center of a highly publicized sex abuse case facing criminal charges for allegedly slamming a baseball bat on a hotel manager's front desk. Shades of Russell Crowe. He's 60, he's 69, by the way. He was charged with aggravated assault and possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose over accusations that he was violent toward a desk manager at the extended stay of Erica Secaucus Meadowlands Hotel on Friday.
Maybe this, okay, I've got a whole thing. Maybe this is some sort of marketing campaign by the church. I've been thinking about all of this. Yeah, there's this molesting, and then there was that case a couple weeks ago where he was, and it was with a woman. There was some case a couple weeks ago where a priest was given it to some, and it was a female. And
which is highly,
about 2 months ago, there was a priest who ran. He was a drunk driver in like Secaucus or something, and he ran somebody down. And now this guy, he stuck it to a whole bunch of kids, and then he hit somebody with a bat. So maybe this is part of some new Buddy Christ-esque campaign by the Catholic Church to like give their edge back or something. Maybe they're thinking that people, like the young people, will come back to the Catholic Church. But it's not your father's Catholic Church, and it's like a whole bunch of priests just putting the whoop on people.
Well, he was using the baseball bat as a cane.
I guess that theory doesn't
He hit the desk after the manager refused to give him a key until he paid his bill, but the desk clerk had a different version of events. The clerk said a former man of the cloth told him he was handsome, offered him gifts, hugged him, and kissed him on the cheek.
Oh, good time.
Then the former minister became verbally abusive, so the manager called police who arrested Hanley, swinging a metal bat.
Oh, that's fantastic. I just wish there was video of it. Oh, good times. Ah, I've missed the priest.
So that's it for now. The clergy watch for today.
All right. So I'll tell you what. We're going to break. We're going to come back. We'll take some more of your phone calls. And then we will talk about, here, we'll be back in a few minutes. We will talk about that dark day in April of 2005. Wait, hold on. Let me put on my behind the music. But just as it think, wait, hold on. I haven't done this in a while. Wait,
the pressure.
Let me get a running start at it. But just when it seemed like this band of radio merrymakers had it all. It all came crashing down. All right, so we'll talk about that when we get back. Later on, we'll talk about The Sopranos. We'll do the top five. People calling in, I apologize. We'll get to your calls. It's going to be one of those days. So there you go. There was your clergy watch from Monday. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Y'all, don't go anywhere.
Because I got to have faith.
Oh, hi, I'm back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Broadcasting right here from the hallowed studios of Johnson 970 AM. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And it is Monday, March 13th, 2006, and we are back. You've been asking. I'm already doing it. There's paper. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to roll out today's top five. Top five comeback albums of all time. Later on, we'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian about the triumphant return of The Sopranos last night on HBO. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley, and here's what we're going to do this hour. And because... Are you eating that sandwich out of my bag?
Yeah.
Okay. It's nice to be eating again.
It was... okay, that sandwich is wrapped, but it was next to my socks. So just so you know, I mean, so there's a little bit of a fetid
I thought you were being nice to me. It was like your sock.
No, that ain't sweet.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and I biked in this morning. And just talking about biking in, I can already see in my head the sort of flow chart where talking about one thing is going to hopelessly deviate me, which I know will surprise everybody. And I will begin talking about something that's so far afield from what we need to get done. But you know what? That's kind of what we do. So you could like it or lump it, take it down the road and dump it, my friend. I bicycled to work today. And am I alone there bicycling in, Sarah?
No, I did too.
Good for you.
Maxed it because I come from the western suburbs.
Oh, that's right.
I cannot bike it in.
And it's like 500 miles away. I remember the first time I went to your house, and I just kept driving and driving and driving. And it's where you feel like you're, you know, like you're going to fall.
You didn't tell me it's at the end of nowhere.
Fall off the edge of the earth. So, yeah, you maxed it. So I biked in today because parking downtown, I don't want to turn this into a whole parking rant, but I mean, for the love of all that is sweet and holy, I mean, there's nowhere. There is no. And I asked the woman when we first got on here, I was, you know, we were kind of taking care of all the business and the paperwork and all that stuff. And I said, so who do I talk to about reimbursing us for parking? And she just sort of laughed and like shooed me out of the office. And there's like one guy in the entire building that gets reimbursed for parking. And everybody else, it just, I mean, it would cost. I figured this out that I think doing this show 5 days a week, let's see, five times, I'm 75. I figured out that it would cost us $300 a month each. I mean, it would cost us a grand total to try to park here. So I totally had the bicycle in, and I knew the Willamette was going to be here today. Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette, they were doing a story, and he's talking about the triumphant return of the Rick Emerson Show, blah, 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 throngs rejoice, millions weep openly, etc. And so they're here, and he's like, I'm going to be bringing a photographer, and I'm like, okay, I'll try to look great. And there's really no way to look great wearing a shirt that's been stuffed into a bicycle bag underneath my Franklin Planner, two sandwiches, and a bike lock. Because I take it out and it's just, man, it's like perma wrinkled. And so I got this like hip new happening shirt, and it just looks like crap. It just looks like I stomped on it out in the gutter.
And it's purple.
And it's purple. It's not purple. It's not.
Very festive.
Well, it's transitioning into my new Latin lover face.
Oh.
So, all right. So I bicycled in today. I tried to get an early start on prepping for all of the show because I knew that the show was immediately going to go off the rails as soon as we start talking about what happened when we went off the air last April. So what I'm going to do here is this. I'm going to take these two calls, all right here, take these two first calls we've got here, and then I will set the stage and we will explain, and I put together over the last day or so kind of a sort of list of things that I think people probably want to know about, questions people probably have, burning queries that scream out to be satisfied.
That we can actually be honest about.
That
now.
We can actually be honest about mm-hmm. without having to go, Sarah left to pursue other opportunities because she... She didn't feel that Max 910 was an appropriate match for her at this stage in her career with like the biggest load. And so we'll talk about all of that. Let's get these two calls here. Let's start with our good friend Diana. Diana, how you doing?
I am doing so great. My day gets better every moment I listen.
Well, that's what we're here for. I'd like to bring management, both middle and upper, attention to that last comment, as well as any prospective clients and salespeople who may be listening.
Well, after all, look how many coffee cups we destroyed trying to get you back on the air.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to spend some serious time talking about coffee cups and the fact that they were toted and delivered and sent and bagged and dropped off and Pony Express and all of that stuff over to the old station. So we're going to talk about that because it is very much, and I don't mean this as a pandering sort of statement, it just sort of doubles
oh, pander,
that.
Baby, pander.
It just doubles as like a sort of blatant ass kiss that it really is because of you guys that we're back here kind of doing that thing that we do so well. And I'll give you all the details on that, but it is, we're glad to be back. And we're glad to be here thralling and entertaining and irritating the people once again.
Oh, and thank you for all the Ricodone you supplied, you know, to keep us little addicts going while you were off the air.
We had,
and Ricodone saved our lives.
I do have to give a shout-out to Joni DeRoshi, and we're going to give lots of shout-outs today. I don't want to cluster them all together and do them as one big clump, but Joni DeRoshi, who is, you know, has kept my website up and running, and we did a lot of audio, a lot of clips from the old show, a lot of songs, a lot of stuff to kind of keep people... Yeah, because there was nothing
to listen to.
I mean, it was just waiting. And that's not really a function of how great this show is, although it is. It's just a function that the radio is, it was just terrible. It was just a gigantic sucking chest wound out there. And it was just nothing. And so, you know, and the fact that after 11 months, the fact that there was still nothing to listen to. And I mean, I'm glad, don't get me wrong. I'm glad to be back. We're glad to be doing the show, to have the listeners back, be back in the fold with everybody. But, I mean, the idea that Portland Radio would just let all y'all wander around in the desert for 11 months without giving you something to listen to is just, it's an indication of how astoundingly poorly sometimes those decisions are made. So we're glad to be back, Diana.
All right. Well, thank you. And we never left.
Yeah, well, I was...
You know, we never... Do you have any idea how much blogging we did?
Yeah, well, I do, actually. I do. Yeah. I found the worst webpage in the entire world a few weeks ago. It's a page that lets you... Because, you know, everybody's Googled themselves, you know, to find out, like, how much am I loved? There's this page now that you can go to that tells you what blogs you're mentioned on. And so you can actually find out if you're mentioned on blogs and which ones. And, man, it's like the day I found that, it's like my life was over. I never got anything done again because I would just sit there like a monkey with a heroin button just over and over and over trying to see how many people on the web are talking about the show. So I do. So we'll talk about all of those guys in a minute. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
All right, let's get whoever this is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
On the web.
Hi, this is Terry from Tigard. How are you?
Hi, Terry from Tigard. I'm rolling along. Terry? Sarah? What's your name?
Terry.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm on my way to the call, so I'm about to lose you guys. But I just got to tell you, Rick was just talking about the vast wasteland of radio because he's been gone. And I tell you, I'm a postal carrier. I'm from
right
all
here.
Postal carriers.
Uh-huh.
We want you. We're so happy to have you guys back on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, you know, postal anybody who delivers anything, if your job involves picking up an object, carrying the object, and setting the object down somewhere else, you're our prime demo. You are our people.
And, you know, I'm not your regular demographic.
Right.
But I know quite a few other carriers that females, too, older females, we all listen.
God bless you. Well, you continue to spread the word, my friend.
Hey, we've been waiting for this for 11 months, dear.
Yeah, so is my landlord. Every time I do, when are you going to get a job? So I'm glad to be back. So, Terry, thank you for listening. You spread the word, all right, sister?
I sure will.
All right, drive safe.
Go, Rick.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Did she know she was talking to me?
Well, pass the message along.
There was a whole lot of, like, tell Rick we're glad, and Rick, I didn't want to...
Maybe it doesn't sound like you.
I don't know who she thought she was speaking to.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. All right. You can call if you like. No guarantee that we're going to get to a ton of calls today. We'll try to get to as many as we can. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, you can also see those phone numbers, email information, all that stuff at rickemerson.com, which has undergone a stunning redesign. rickemerson.com. So let's do this. Later on, we will talk about the people who kind of kept us on board. We'll give like an honor roll shout out. We'll talk to Peter Carlin about The Sopranos. We'll do the top five. But we got some time here. So we should talk about, it was a 2-week period of time last year when things in our world went a little skewy. First a little skewy, then a whole lot skewy. And it hasn't really resolved itself until just about an hour and 10 minutes ago. So we should start this conversation by saying, and I think the odds are very high, that most of the people, if not an overwhelming majority of the people listening today, are sort of old school listeners. And that's just because we along with a lot of people who've helped us out there, Joni DeRoshi and Aaron Geek in the City and all those guys, have really helped us put the word on the sort of virtual streets, you know, whether it's with MySpace, whether it's with the, you know, sort of online video clips that we made, that we forwarded around. Tim made one. Again, Joni and Aaron and our friend Jarris made one. And, you know, it's been forwarded around, message boards, you know, email, newsletters, people telling people. I heard from people who were, like, text messaging everybody in their cell phone book. I mean, so it's, you know, people have really been talking about this. So the majority of people listening today are, I would imagine, people who listen to the show in a couple of its previous incarnations. Because this is now the fifth version of the Rick Emerson Show. There was, let's see, there was when I first came to Oregon in 98. There was when I did the ill-advised syndicated show, which was bad and terrible in every way. There was, see, after I got fired from the syndicated show, and what's-her-name replaced me, and then I came back and replaced her after, so that was the, what, fourth version, right? No, that was the third version.
Third version.
And then when we transitioned to 9-10, and we went to 9 to noon, and we were on Max 9-10, that was the fourth version of the show. Boy, this really makes me sound lame and unemployable. And this either makes me sound completely undesired or completely desirable, that I've been fired 4 times and hired 5. And so now this is Rick Emerson Show version 5.0. And so some of you, maybe, you know, listeners to the Johnson 970 before, or you were like his listeners, or you listened to the comedy stuff, and so you're just kind of happening into us here. If that's the case, there you go. So I've been in Portland for about 8 years now. It's going to be 8 years coming up later on in the fall. bounced around on a couple different stations. Here we are. A lot of the people probably listened to us over in those previous incarnations, so we should explain a little bit of how we got from Nya to Nya. What happened is this. That's a little dramatic pausing. So we were on Max 910, which was part of the Intercom family. And we were doing a show there from 9 to noon. And none of us are early risers. None of us. I mean, Tim's kind of a morning person, but he's really...
Well, what happened was, they took me off my regular Lancashire shift, which I liked, threw me on Imus, which nobody was listening to. So since I was already in the building, why don't we move the rest of the show?
That was really the whole thing, too. And it was, and they kept, you know, they kept trying to pretend that they really cared about the show. And that news guy, Tom, he's great. We got to have more Tom. And Tim Riley. Yeah, Tom Riley, he's fantastic. Well, look, how do you feel about going 9 to noon? Well, I don't really. Great. Well, how about Monday? Well, I don't want it. Good, good. We'll put it in a management form for it. And then they would fire it up. So they just sort of shoved us down to 9 to noon. And again, I don't mean to sound, this is not trying to sound like sour grapes, because there was a lot of people there that, you know, they're good people.
A lot of very good people. A
lot of great people over there who, you know, may or may not be listening. The next, we had some fans in that building. And we'll kind of mention a few people by name later on who were very supportive and kind of helped us out. But there was, I think, a little bit of a misunderstanding about who listened to the show, what kind of people listened, sort of what the content of the show was, the sort of vibe and the distinctive, what Apple computers would call the distinctive sound and style of the Rick Emerson program. Anyway, so we were in the 9 to noon slot for about 15 months. I think it was from like March of 2004 till April 21st of 2005. And that was Tim and Sarah X. Dillon here and myself, and we had our good friend Kyle, the intern. And we had Matt Peterson, who was kind of floating around and doing some stuff. And we had somebody, it seems like there was somebody else, some other sort of tangential member of the show. But we were doing the show there. And at one point, and I'll try to keep this story very linear. At one point, there was some unpleasantness with one of the radio stations in that building. One of their morning shows made an abrupt exit. And there was a station in that building that suddenly and drastically had to revamp their mornings and had to, as the radio folks say, reposition themselves in the market. And they wanted to try to capture some of that alternative dollar. And so they came to me at one point and they said, do you want to play Depeche Mode records? We think that alternative mornings with Rick would be fantastic. And they said, do you like Morrissey? And I was, well, I don't know. We'd love to. And finally, I just passed on that. So I just, there was sort of a vague discussion with me about going over and doing this alternative morning show that they decided was going to be the next big thing. And they talked to me, and I sort of passed on that. And then they sort of went down the chain of people they were talking to, and at one point they came and talked to Sarah Dillon.
Thanks, Rick. Way down the chain.
And so, no, I'm just saying, it's like, because I referred them your way. I said, Sarah's fantastic, and she's good at what she does, and I'm sure she'd be great. So while we were doing, what would that have been? That would have been like January, probably? Beginning of 2005?
It was a long, I started working there in August.
End of 2004.
Yeah.
So late in 2004, Sarah started doing two jobs. She was sort of double-fisting it, where you would come in and you would do the morning show over there.
Two jobs, one paycheck.
And not unlike now.
Yeah.
And so that was totally their thing, too. That was like, again, with the steak knives, where it's like they would pay you to do the alternative show, and then as a bonus, you would do this talk show that they could never remember the name of or anything about it. They didn't know who worked on it. They couldn't figure out how to market it. And so you would come in and do the morning show on the alternative station, and then you would come over and do my show. And I think you learned pretty quickly that you were not a click with doing a morning music show on an FM station. That was not, I'm trying to find it, because I don't want to speak for you, but I think you probably discovered pretty quickly that doing an FM morning music show was probably not your raison d'etre.
Well, I think it was a little out of my demographic. I mean, the people I worked with tended to know a little bit more about
just
the music
say it,
than I did.
Aging hipsters.
Oh, my God.
No, look, I'm an aging rocker. What are you going to do? We're all aging, sister, even you. But, I mean, you didn't grow up with, you know, it's not like you grew up with the Thompson twins. It's, you know, what are you going to do? So you got an offer to do Coin Television.
I did. They actually called me on from your show, not from the other one.
That's right. You hear that? They called her because they heard her on the Rick Emerson show. And so they heard her. So Coin Television heard you on the Rick Emerson show. They called you and they said, Sarah, have you ever wanted to be on television? And you said, why, yes, I have. I've always wanted to be on television. And so the only problem was that this offer to do Coin Television conflicted with the alternative morning show you were doing, right?
It's true.
And so, here's what happened. What, do we have to break?
We do have to break, actually.
Oh, but see, now,
hang on.
Coming up after the break, we'll tell you what happened. It's another Rick Emerson Guarantees. You stay there. We'll be back. It is the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. You want to get on board, the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You stay there. We'll be back. Another Rick Emerson Show. Live from the studios of Johnson 970, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Right here in Portland, Oregon, y'all. 503-733-2970. 503-2... I was bound to screw it up eventually. 503-733-2970. You can find that more at rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming by. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley. Coming up, we have some news from Tim Riley at the City Desk. We have Peter Carlin, Neil Ogoning, and talk about The Sopranos. We'll do a top five today. Top five comeback albums of all time. We'll get some more of your phone calls, emails, etc. We are back after 11 months off the air. Back in Portland. When we last left the Rick Emerson Show, the problem is behind the music doesn't do any of those rejoins like that, so I have nothing to emulate. When we last left the Rick Emerson Show, we were talking about Sarah Dillon leaving Alternative Mornings. So we were at a point last April, early April, when Sarah Dillon, who's the esteemed producer and helmsman of the show, was doing Alternative Mornings and then would walk across the hall to do our show from 9 to noon. Coin Television called you, and everybody, I can't tell you the number of people who think that you knew we were going to get canceled and that you ran like a rat off the Titanic.
Oh, believe you me, I heard from a lot of
people. I heard
a
whole lot of that. Bitch, Sarah left you in the lurch. Screw her.
Yeah, how come you didn't let Rick and everybody else in on it?
Everybody thinks that Sarah knew that we were going to get blown out and that she just scurried away like a quisling. And it's not the case at all.
That's actually quite the opposite.
What happened is that Sarah was doing a morning show across the hall, and then she was walking across and doing our show 9 to noon.
Oh, they're never
going to
hire me again.
They weren't going to hire you again anyway. Coin Television called her and said, hey, you're a fresh-faced, you know, person of tomorrow. You can identify. The young people will love you. Would you like to come and do some on-air work at Coin News? And Sarah had, it's no big secret that you wanted to try television. It's something you've been interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sarah goes to the management, goes to the program director at the Alternative Nation or whatever the hell they are. And she said, well, look, I got this offer to do television. And it's, you know, any...
I think it's a good opportunity for me.
And it is, and Tim, you will confirm this, that
yes.
any job from a perspective of an outsider, any job in television is better than a job in radio, on a resume. You know what I mean? And not that, look, I'm a radio guy, I'm not a TV guy, but I also know that from an objective standard, on your resume, anything that is television-oriented looks better than anything. The lowest television job is held in so much more esteem, you know, than the highest radio job.
Absolutely.
TV people don't care about radio at all. The radio doesn't mean buckets to them. And so it's a great opportunity. And so let's pretend for a moment that you're this corporation. And Sarah X. Dillon has the opportunity to be on television every morning in front of, you know, tens of thousands of viewers, probably. People watching, people knowing who she is, people seeing her, and then later on, being on 9 to noon on the Rick Emerson Show.
It's free promotion every day for the radio station.
It is what we in the media business call symbiosis or cross-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a chance to pimp out the Rick Emerson Show and to pimp out Max 910, which never had any advertising, which is fine. I mean, that's you know, we're sort of a guerrilla operation. That's fine. But it was a chance to have huge cross-promotion. And they got, I mean, they went nuclear about it. I mean, they went thermal. And I will be, to be fair, I do understand that they were not crazy about you walking out on the morning show, because their logic was that they'd spent all this time pimping that it's going to be Sarah and other guy in the morning. And it's, you know, that they put all this marketing behind it, and they mm-hmm. built this radio station around mornings, and they built mornings around Sarah Dillon and other guy. And they didn't want you to walk out. And, you know, but I know you told them, you said, look, I'm going to Coin TV one way or the other. And the offer that you made them, correct me if I'm wrong here, the offer that Sarah made them was, you said, look, I'll go and I'll do Coin, and then I'll do the Rick Show, and it'll be a huge promotion for the Rick Emerson Show. Everybody will know about it. It'll drive the ratings up. It's a win-win situation. You know, it is, you know, everybody wins in the end. And what happened? They were so furious that you didn't want to do the morning show, the alternative show anymore,
mm-hmm.
that they forbade you from staying on my program.
I was banned from the building.
Banned from the building. And the response was that if you don't want to be part of the morning show, you are not allowed to work on any station in this building, and you are not. And really, I mean, when it comes down to it, what it was is, I mean, it was a punitive decision. I mean, they knew I don't think it's a big secret to say that you liked working on this show more than you liked working on an FM morning show.
So this is a real show. Well, you don't speak for 10 seconds between 20 records.
You're not recording everything 3 hours in advance and then going home at 8:30. And so she liked it. You know, you liked doing this show more. You were a big fan of it. And so just to punish you, because they knew. It's like when your kid misbehaves. When your child misbehaves, what do you take away their carrots? No, you take away their Xbox. You take away the thing that your kid loves. And when you want to punish somebody, you don't take away the thing that they're tolerating, they're putting up with. When you want to punish somebody, you take away the thing that they love. You take away the thing that's closest to their heart. And to Sarah, that was this program. And so the punishment for leaving that morning show was that she was no longer allowed to do my show. And so we had no choice. You had no choice but to leave. I mean, it was...
And plus, I would have been screwed anyway because... Like, if I would have chosen to stay, then they would know that I have the other.
Once you say you're going to leave, once you're like, I'm out of here, then you can't be like, oh, I guess I'll stay, because then they would have blown you out the first chance.
I would have been gone from the, yeah.
Once you said you wanted to leave, you were hosed, because they would have canned you anyway. So, but the punishment for leaving that morning show was that they yanked you off my show. They wouldn't, and I had countless, I'm meeting after meeting, and memo after memo.
Me too, outlines, and I was going to work for pennies,
as they say in The Godfather, I mean, I went to the mattresses. I mean, I did everything in my power. I did everything in my power but quit myself, which, I mean, would have been pointless. You know, there was just no, I mean, I would have had to walk, and they would have let me. I mean, there's just no way. They were so angry at you that they forbade you to work on the Rick Emerson show. That was like, that was the being sent to bed without supper.
They said that it would be hard to see my face in the building. Like, right. They said that to me.
So that happened, though. That happened the week of our final listener party. That happened April 15th was your final day on the air.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last day you were allowed to be in that building. And that was the night of our listener party. Our great, by the way, our most successful listener party ever. We had it at the Viper Room. It was on April 15th of last year. Not only was it our biggest listener party ever, we broke all of their attendance records. We broke all of their adult beverage sales records. I mean, it was off the charts and record-breaking in every conceivable...
There were people standing outside waiting to get in.
The show was at its zenith. I mean, the show really had a fantastic momentum. I mean, the show was going places. I mean, they make it sound like it's not now, but I mean, we were really achieving kind of a critical mass. And that was the week they made the decision to fire Sarah, to force her off the show. And so we had... And I mean, I was going to make the best of a bad situation. I had this whole plan worked out where we were going to audition for a replacement for Sarah... Like American Idol style. I was totally going to bring it. People had people call up. People were going to come in. They were going to audition. We were going to vote. We were going to make it a huge production out of it, because if I had to be forced to replace her, not that you could replace you, but I mean, if I had to be forced to get somebody else, I was going to make it a huge, gigantic spectacle. And it's funny because fast forward to the next week, which is about 3 days before the firing, and I started talking to the program director, this guy Alan. And I started going, well, I'm going to do this huge spectacle. I'm going to do this whole American Idol thing, and I'm going to spend 2 weeks trying to find Sarah's replacement. And he kind of got this funny look on his face like, oh, that's a good idea. You should definitely do that. Yeah, totally. I had it planned out that it was going to be like a two-week promotion to find your replacement. And it was a whole lot of, 2 weeks? Yeah. Well, Rick, why don't you not start that yet? Why don't you wait a couple of days before you start some big two-week promotion? I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, let the dust settle a little bit, and then we'll... Then you can do that. I'm like, all right, you know, no problem.
That'll be great.
That'd be great. Why don't you, if you just want to go ahead and do that next week. Yeah. And that's what happened. And so Thursday, April 21st, Spence, Sarah is gone from the show, having been forced out. I have put off looking for her replacement because they suggested that I do it later for some reason. I do the show, and thank God it was a good show, because if I'd gone out on a bad show, I would have had to hang myself in a broom closet somewhere. So we had a great show on Thursday, April 21st. I get off the air, sitting back at my desk. Program director Alan comes out, and he says, Rick, can I talk to you in my office for a second? He said, yeah, sure, whatever. Go in. First bad sign. Shuts the door. When they shut the door, you know that something's up. You know, probably something either very good or very bad is about to happen. And in radio, it's not ever the very good thing. Second strike. You know how when you sit at a desk, your boss is on one side of the desk and you're on the other? He walks around to my side of the desk, sits down in the chair next to me, puts his arm around me. And he said, Rick, wait for it. Rick, there's no easy way to say this, so I'm just going to say it. And you're like, oh, hell no, no. Because you know. Uh-oh. As soon as the program director says, there's no easy way to say this, so I'm... just going to come out and say it. You know, you're hosed. You're gone. You're on.
Great God.
Look, Look, Wick, we've had some laughs and some good times, but I think it's time that Entercom started hiring other people. You know, that's really what it was. And to his credit, he was a straight shooter with me. He didn't screw around. He said, look, and I figured they were just going to fire me. I thought they were going to blow me out. And there was a rumor they were going to replace me with this guy from Seattle. And it turns out that's not the case. He just said, Rick, at 2 o'clock, Max 910 is going off the air. The Rick Emerson Show will be gone. This building will no longer be doing talk. Entercom will be out of the talk business. This Charlie station's coming in. Kissin is moving to 910. You are now unemployed. And it happens at 2. So to his credit, he got all the bad news out in like 5 seconds. And I was pretty calm at the time. I just said, you know, I said, okay, that's been great. I got to go make some phone calls. Because I didn't want you all, like Tim and Sarah, you guys are driving around. You're ready to turn on the radio station, and suddenly there's the Archies, you know? And so I immediately went to the studio, and I started calling people. One, and I'm like, you know, and I called, you know, like, this is a true story. I called my wife. My wife was the very first person I called. She was the first phone call I made. And this is a completely true story. It sounds made up, but this is a completely true story. I called her on the cell phone from one of the production rooms over there. And she said, you know, hello, hi. And I said, hi, hon, what are you doing? And she said, I'm out looking at houses. She was out with her friend Lori looking at houses to buy. And she had, what's earnest money? You know, she was totally out looking for real estate. And I said, and it's like God was just kicking you in the sack right there.
How did you word it to her?
I just said, you don't want to do that because there's been some. She's known me long enough. I said, there have been some changes. And she immediately knew what it was. And she, you know, I told her. And so I went down the list in my phone, calling everybody I could think of, saying, look, we're, you know, at 2 o'clock, you're going to start hearing something drastically different. And I tried to get everybody called all of the guests on the show, all of that. And then at 2 o'clock, Don and Mike, who were the show on after us, they went to a commercial break. And unless I'm wrong, they just never came back. But they came back with Proud Mary or...
I believe around 2:20, because I noticed hundreds of emails around 2:20. I'm wondering, wow, that must have been a great show we did today.
What could possibly be happening? Why could people be so rapaciously desirous of talking to me? And then you read them, and it's all like a lot of what the F, and this is ass, and, you know, whose head should I put on a platter? And and the email was just, I had to turn my phone off. I just turned my phone off, and I opened it. I opened my phone the next day, my cell phone, and it was like 35 messages or something, just a huge number of messages. And I keep my cell phone number very private, but, I mean, people found it, and they just filled it up and filled it up and filled it up. And I couldn't. It took me, no lie, it took me months after the firing to get all of the emails answered. Because people were, I mean, they were horrified. They were outraged. And so, I know Likas did a lot of this discussion when he came back. They picked him up here at Johnson 970, they picked Likas up. And he talked, he made no bones about it. I mean, he laid out exactly how he felt about all of that and all of those changes. So that is how we were fired, and given about 20 minutes notice to tell everybody. So that brings us up to the unemployment. And I'll tell you what, we'll do this. When we get back, we'll take a couple more phone calls. We will talk about the reason that we are back. So we'll do the second half of the story when we come back. See, it's like Behind the Music. See, this is the price of fame, the bottoming out. Steven Tyler found himself in a flop house, squeezing, you know, powders into his nose and, you know, clawing the spiders off of his body, you know, or whatever. We come back, we'll do the triumphant return when we come back after this. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970. Here's your phone number, 503-733-2970. We were talking earlier about the return of the show. We're back today after about 11 months off the air. Here with Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley. Coming up later on, we'll talk to Peter Carlin of the Oregonian about The Sopranos. We'll try to do a top five today, top five comeback albums of all time. We'll give you the second half of the story here in just a second. We've covered up to the moment of our firing. And we've talked about Sarah being kicked off the show, kind of over and above everybody's objections. We've talked about the show being taken off the air. So in just a second, we'll complete the cycle, and we'll talk about how it is that we came to be here at Johnson 970, working for the fine folks at CBS Radio, the company still very recently known as Infinity. Let me get a couple of these phone calls here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dante.
Dante? Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I am so glad you guys are back on the air.
Yes, thank you.
But that's the last time I'll say that.
Okay. No, it's fine. I'm not trying to...
No, it's all cool.
Say it again. It sounds good.
Say it over and over. Tell me again. Tell me more about my eyes.
I've been waiting for you for so long.
Okay, that's just unnerving.
11 months is just too damn long to wait for a real radio show to come on in Portland.
Well, see, you know, the thing is that I always told people this, and this is true. This is not just, it is a glib one-liner, but it's also true, is that it was a lot harder for y'all than for me. And by, which doesn't mean I don't care. It didn't mean that I want to get back on the air. I did. But as I always said, I'm not the guy who's stuck in a truck all day with nothing to listen to. You know what I mean?
Or stuck in a cab like I am. Hey, man.
You're stuck in a cat?
A cab.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyhow, I wanted to ask you how, as a listener to the Rick Emerson Show, can I throw my support behind you and put my money where your mouth is?
Why, Dante, I'm so glad that you would ask that. Okay, we need to get a siren, and the siren is the attention middle and upper management and sales departments at CBS Radio.
I believe there's a valuable link. Easily found.
Yeah. Here's what you want to do. First of all, if you want to send an email, you send your email to comments, C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S, right? E-N-T-S, comments at johnson970.com. And look, I got to tell you, coming up, I mean, right now, you already hear, you know, we've already, you know, obviously got the, you know, spots and ads and commercials that we're playing. In the very near future, you're going to be hearing some of the folks who supported the Rick Emerson Show, some of the clients, some of the businesses we've worked with. You're going to hear them back on the air. Let me tell you, man. People, when people don't like something, and this is the lesson I always tell people, when you don't like something, people just tune out, right? When you don't like something, people just like, well, screw that, or they change the dial.
My radio has been off for nearly a year now.
Are you hearing that, everybody out there? There's your tiny audience, jackholes.
Rick Emerson audience is tiny and minuscule.
No, tell you the truth, I actually want to put money, my money, behind you.
Just send me a 10.
I want to sponsor the first FMAT of the Rick Emerson.
Ah, see, I knew this would happen.
And however much it costs, I would like to say FMAT with a taxi cab.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we'll bill you. But
yeah.
The larger point here, and I mean this seriously, when you hear a client on the Rick Emerson Show, you hear a sponsor on the Rick Emerson Show, you hear whatever, especially as the weeks go on, you know, those are people who have made a proactive choice to support a live local radio show. They're people, you know, people aren't made of money. Even people who run businesses, and they got to pick and choose where they advertise. They got to pick and very selectively choose where their money goes. And so when you hear someone that is advertising in the show, it means that they have made a proactive choice to put their money here. And you know what? You got to go there. You got to support them. You got to tell them that you're glad they advertise, and you got to, you got to support the show. And that's, you know, that's kind of the way it works, my friend. So we're glad to be back,
hey,
and we're glad to be doing the thing.
I have another bone I wanted to throw you.
Okay.
I have an opportunity for an interview with Mr. Bobby Henderson, the godfather of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I don't know if you're familiar with this. You want to check out Veganza? VEGANZA.org. This is the greatest thing ever.
All right. Drop me an email.
Cool.
Drop me an email. All right. There you go. That's it. That's something. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Oh, hey, I'm the beautiful Sarah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm so glad you're back, Rick. This is like my birthday, Christmas, and New Year's Eve, and St. Patty's Day all wrapped into one.
Well, I'm glad that we could help. It's sort of like a Juneteenth, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Arbor Day, President's Day kind of a mishmash.
Now, just tell me one thing that will just absolutely make my life complete. When you came over to this new station,
the Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family.
Tell me, she whose name cannot be spoken did not come with you.
No, Erin Hubert is still at Entercom trying to justify her poor programming decisions to the rest of... Oh, I'm sorry, who are you talking about?
The Harpy.
Oh, Jolie. Jolie from Corporate Accounts Payable. It remains to be seen. You will have to wait for the answer to that, my friend.
You know, I would rather do home dentistry with a dull Leatherman than ever hear her voice on your show.
Well, we'll see what we can do. There's a little bit of Schadenfreude there.
Kind of a mixed bag.
Jolie's sort of like habanero ice cream. You know, it hurts while at the same time you're liking it. So it remains to be seen whether Jolie's going to rejoin us or not.
You got to keep saying her name. I'm going to be sitting in the corner tonight, rocking back and forth, saying, "Can't sleep. Jolie will eat me now." It's going to be all your fault.
Yeah, it's all part of the Rick Emerson Show impacting your life.
Thank you for coming back, and whoever the genius is that hired you back, oh, I hope they get a raise. This is the best thing ever to happen to Portland Radio.
That would be General Manager Mark Whalen and the rest of the staff here at CBS Radio.
We're going to have to and by the way, who's going to give me back all my coffee mugs that I dropped off to the bastards over the other place?
All right, we got to go. Thanks. I appreciate that. Let's do one more here. Hi, Rick Emerson. Who's this?
It's Ian.
Ian. Is this Ian Gordon?
It is.
Former Weapon Master Extreme Ian Gordon. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm now Hammer Master.
The Hammer Master?
Yeah, I was online earlier and I dropped my phone because I was on a ladder banging on something.
Ah, I see. Hey, I could use a stool and some paneling down here if you get a chance. So
I could throw that together, no problem. Yeah,
so what's up with this? Is Ian who was holding it down for one of our popular features when the Iraq War first happened, which is the weapon of the day. So
yeah.
Excellent. Good to hear your voice again, brother.
It's good to hear yours too, man. It's been a little dry around Portland since you've been gone.
Well, you know, we're sort of there's some sort of a joke there with dry, and then there's some sort of a lubricant joke there, but I don't know what it is. Well, look, the good news is that we may be going over and killing people in Iran soon, and so maybe we bring you back and have you bust out some weapons for us.
Oh, I'm always ready when people are dying.
That's the positive mindset that the Rick Emerson Show engenders in listeners.
You got it, man.
All right, Ian. Hey, thank you, brother. It's always good to hear your voice. We'll have you on soon.
You got it, man. Welcome back.
There you go. Ian Gordon, former weapon man. Okay, so where were we? So
how we got here today?
We had been fired, and about 2 weeks after we got fired, which would have been then about the end of April, beginning of May, we have an audience that is, I mean, call it what it is, they're geeks. You know, our audience are geeks and proud of it. And, you know, they're online and they're plugged in and they're wired and they're all that stuff. It's, you know, they it's like Sarah was so into that MySpace thing, for example. Just a small example. Like, wait, so I didn't even know what the hell it was. Like, you were into that years ago. I had no idea what the...
Yeah, I think I joined like 3 years ago.
I didn't even know.
Two, three.
And like the MySpace page was a thing that I just registered because I figured I want anybody else to have it. It's like, you don't want some guy in the Netherlands squatting on it.
Yeah, like happened to me when someone pretends to be you on there.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah.
And so I totally registered, didn't know what to do with it. And the audience, though, as always, was so far ahead of us on this. They were so far ahead of me on the curve. That they, you know, Aaron Geek in the City and a bunch of other folks out there, that they started rolling this thing called the Coffee Cup Crusade. And you may have heard about this. If you're in the audience right now, you probably did. What happened is they took, and this is the first time I've ever seen this happen. It is, again, it is a testament to the groundbreaking creativity and passion of the Rick Emerson audience. Now listening to Johnson 970, a part of CBS Radio. They took the tactics that people have used for television shows. You know, you hear about those television shows that are being canceled or they're on the bubble and people send stuff. When Angel was on the verge of being canceled, they sent like chocolate bars or something. For Arrested Development, they were sending, They were sending coffee or they were sending something or other for Arrested Development. They sent it to Fox. And so the audience started taking all those same tactics and they applied them to keeping a radio show or getting a radio show back on the air, which I've never heard of before. I mean, it was a really kind of an interesting thing, and they started an online campaign, and the campaign was that you should take a coffee cup, and you take your coffee cup, or 5 or 10 or whatever, and you go drop them off at the old station at Entercom with a little note inside. It was like, I want my morning fix, or I need my morning fix, bring back the Rick Emerson Show, and people, because, you know, I'm glad that people love the show, and, you know, it's so gratifying that people are into the program, but at the same time, I had kind of mixed feelings about it because people have got real problems. People have got the rent they got to pay. They got jobs. They got kids. They got lives. People got stuff they got to do. And part of me didn't really want to be telling people to do this coffee cup thing because I thought, well, it's just a stupid radio show. I'm just some guy. But you know what? People really felt like there was a hole in the day. People felt like something had been taken away from them. They felt like they hadn't been listened to. People felt like they had been ignored. They felt like their desires as an audience and what they wanted to live, they felt like they didn't want to listen to the same old crap over and over again. They wanted something live and local and different and unique and all of that, and they took matters into their own hands. And the coffee cups, I had a few people on the inside over there, some people who were employees with that company, who forwarded me emails that had sort of gone around the building. There were some emails from the honchos over there, and it was like, we all know this has been quite a week. What with the hundreds and hundreds of coffee cups coming in every day, we're trying to do our best to weather this storm, please. And the listeners are really making it hard for them over there. I mean, they were being heard. They were really putting their foot down. And the next thing you know, it started to get play online. It was covered in a bunch of blogs. And then Christy Turnquist at the Oregonian did a huge piece about the coffee cup crusade. And Aaron Geek in the City was quoted really prominently in there. A good friend, Todd Todd the Corpse, did a huge piece for the Tribune, and it got a lot of media attention. About 3 days after that coffee cup crusade happened, I got a phone call from people at CBS Radio. And they said, hey, do you want to... And I had never talked to them. I hadn't emailed them. It had never even occurred to me to talk to them because this station didn't do anything local. This station was just doing, you know, some syndicated stuff and Hendry and, you know, Likas. It never even occurred to me that they would want to talk to me. They sent me an email. Can we get together? And I said, yeah, sure. We go out to lunch. We sat down, the very first words, and this is completely true, the very first words out of the guy's mouth when we sit down, he said, how do you explain the incredible loyalty of your audience? And I know that sounds hopelessly Pollyanna, but that was exactly the first thing he said. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I see this coffee cup thing happening. I mean, people really love you. And I tried to come up with an answer. Well, I'm an edugenics motor mouth, and I tap into the 25 male Democrat. I talked about we have boobs, you know, and I was just trying to come up with anything. But what got their attention here at CBS Radio was the fact that hundreds and thousands of listeners were, and this is not about the glory of me, this is about the fact that, you know, people didn't like having something ripped away from them like that. And the bad that people do, they don't want to take it anymore. And so the emails, the letters, the coffee cups, that's, and I mean this, I told Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette Week earlier today, that is why we are here. The fact that you are listening to me and Tim Riley and Sarah Dillon, the fact that the Rick Emerson Show is back on the air, the fact that we are broadcasting in Portland, right here, Johnson 970, part of CBS Radio, is a direct result of you guys and the coffee cup thing and the emails and the blog posting and the passing the letters around and writing and dropping by and demanding the show back. It is that. That is why it happened. And, who knows? Someday, you know, they might have come to me anyway, or I might have gotten another job without that, but I don't think so, and I don't think it would have happened nearly as quickly. So I have always said for the longest time, and I've said this at listener parties, I've said you've seen a million blog postings from me about this, that, you know, more than any other show in Portland, there is a unique bond that always has been between this show and Portland. And as Paul Stanley once said, and as I have repeated ad infinitum since then, that without you, there really is no us. This show exists by, of, and for you. And never has that been more true than on this day. Because without you, the show would not be back. You are the single, solitary reason. It all started with you guys demanding that the show be back on the air. And I got to tell you, there's a woman here named Susan. She works in the marketing department. And when the news first broke that this show was going to be put back on, which I think was last Monday, the 6th, she came in every day and saying her voicemail box was full, her email box was full. I heard from a couple of salespeople said they were in sales meetings. They had to turn off their BlackBerries in the sales meetings because somehow listeners were forwarding emails around and they were forwarding emails to the company and they were writing in and saying thank you. And the sales meetings actually couldn't progress because everybody's handhelds and cellulars and BlackBerries were ringing and beeping and buzzing and vibrating and flashing and blinking and bonking with all of this email. They had to turn off their BlackBerries because you guys were sending in so many responses thanking them for putting the show back on. So, really, that's how it happened. That is how we're back. I did a whole lot of nothing for 11 months, and I know Tim's been doing a lot of podcasting. Sarah's continued to do the coin thing. I've been doing Bupkis. I've been sitting on my big, fat American ass eating Cheetos and playing my Xbox.
You've done a little bit.
I did a little bit.
You did something
together. Did a little bit. I did a movie, and I did a couple TV shows.
And a TV show.
I guess we can talk about that later. But that's I did a whole lot of sitting around and letting you guys do the heavy work, and I didn't have to do anything to get back on the air because you guys did all the work for us. You guys did the hard part, and all we have to do is come here and flap our big fat American mouths. And it's because you guys made everything else happen. So there you go. That's the long of it, the short of it, and all the it in between. Let's take a break. Should we take a break here?
Yeah.
Take a break. So we're back by the top. We'll come back. Get a little news with your man Tim Riley. Get some more of your phone calls. We have emails coming up. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to be here to talk about the return of the Sopranos. And we got a little musical treat for you on the way, too. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show is back. It is Monday, March 13th. We're here. We're live. We're local on Johnson 970, part of CBS Radio.